And welcome to this edition of Money Matters. My name's Mark Cunaberti. Thanks for joining me today. We're at show 319, entitled Enter 2021. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope everybody had a great holiday and a great New Year, and I'm sure a lot of us kissed 2020 goodbye with much enthusiasm, for sure. Much enthusiasm. Anyway, remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making any important decisions. I am an investment advisor analyst, and hold California Insurance License OL34249, and a Medicare-approved agent for California. And importantly, the views expressed here are not meant as investment advice. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, members, or underwriters. And Money Matters is always about money, as money does matter. The matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, and controls our economy, our country, our planet. And in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it, about our lives and livelihood. Short, it's about you. And don't forget, the website is moneymanagementradio.com. Everything there is free. It's our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. So, yes, here we are into 2021. And the Dow flirting with 30,000. A new high again. So just to recap, around February, the Dow was sitting at 29,005 something. And of course, the COVID shutdowns hit and the Dow dropped about 38% to 18,300 something. And then about 3 weeks later, it started in the first week of March, and about 3 weeks later, it stopped falling, so it fell a good 11,000 points in 3 weeks. And then off to the races it went. It just took off and had some fits and starts in the next 8 months, 9 months or so. But then bounced over 30,000 and bounced below 30,000. And right now we're up over again 30,000. And, of course, the market disconnect is very concerning to most. We have a new president-elect, Joe Biden, and people have asked me what's going to happen to the Biden economy and the Biden market. Well, hopefully we'll get things back on track. But I coined a phrase called the buy them market. So instead of the Biden market, it was the buy them market. That might give you some indication on what I might think this market might bring us in the new year. Of course, we always have to be careful. The market will never do exactly what you think it'll do. So we do have to be careful there for sure. Okay. So with the Dow bouncing over 30,000, we have to take a look at why do we think that the stock market is running up high while the Main Street economy is hurting. I mean, let's really take a look at that. And I have to tell you, you know, there are those that believe that the government should get more involved in our lives, and there are people that believe that the government should be smaller. I'm one to believe that the government that governs the least is the best. And every time I say that, people say, oh, Mark, you don't want roads or you don't want public schools or what have you. No, we always have to have all those things, of course. So, but it's minimal. But the government right now is, just in my opinion, just lives to get larger. And those who depend on the government should use, you know, the example of the stimulus check. We got one early on, and that was good. But now we just barely got through a second one, and it took, you know, 6-7 more months to get this done. It was gridlocked. And so that's always a danger when you're depending on them and they go into some political gridlock. You wait. Now, we all got a $600 stimulus check just recently, or you will be getting one soon. I got mine right away, which is very interesting. But you will be getting one soon. if you haven't gotten yours already. And it's $600 per, and money for a dependent as well. It's kind of funny they left out 17-year-olds. If you have a 17-year-old, you're not going to get a check for them. It has to do with an old IRS designation of what a child is. And a 17-year-old is classified a little bit different by the IRS rules, hence the stimulus check doesn't go for that. And also, if you have a 18-year-old in college that you claim as a dependent, you're not going to get a check for them, and they won't get a check. So they're kind of railed both ways there. But anyway, we have to think of why. Why is it that the stock market is over new highs, you know, since the February new high, now it's over 30,000. Why is it the stock market is taking off when Main Street is suffering so badly? It's a very good question. And I think, you know, I kind of addressed this. And what I think is happening there, I addressed this in a variety of news articles. And it kind of went like this. Despite the economic shutdowns, there has been a tremendous economic damage to many Americans. Oddly enough, some crafts, artisans, vendors are barely affected by the shutdowns. And some are telling me they're busier than ever. Generally speaking, service sectors like salons, gyms, restaurants, bars, boutiques, small mom-and-pop retail stores have been severely affected. Some artisans and craftsmen, of course, have not been, and you'll probably find that the auto industry, auto parts, contractors, painters, handymen, they're all been busier than ever because people are staying at home and they're buying things for their home and they're buying auto parts for their car and fixing up their cars because they've been sitting basically at home. So we're not seeing a widespread damage to every industry like we did in 08 or 09, but we are seeing more damage than 08 or 09 because the restaurants and the rest are really, really suffering in the bars and all that, of course. The damage to the American pocketbook has been severe. While Wall Street, their pocketbooks are doing quite well, thank you. While Wall Street, their pocketbooks are doing quite well, thank you very much. And you have to wonder why that is. So looking at the damage that was done to these various businesses, the small mom and pops and the restaurants, and then we look at the quick universal agreed upon government stimulus checks that went out early on. Remember? Now, there were stimulus checks and there were paycheck protection programs and there were unemployment bonuses. And they happened pretty much early on and they didn't get much political resistance. So the first round of stimulus and the rest came pretty quick. Now, many programs to help us, the average Joe Blow, they went from somewhere around May to the end of June, July, I think, and they ended. Now, I will tell you that the larger systemic supplemental payments that you may not have heard about were ongoing and did not stop. So these larger systemic supplemental payments and backstops in a variety of areas never ended. And they are called such thing as the open market operations and repurchase agreements of the Federal Reserve, also known as repos. These large programs, which you've probably never heard of, are designed to keep the large money conduits open to large businesses and financial institutions and encompass much larger amounts than what was sent out to individuals. Certainly a bone of contention among many, the claims that the amounts going to individuals were woefully insufficient abound. A lot of people said, hey, a lot more money is going to the financial system than is going to the average American Joe. So, I would add that if the average Joe knew the amounts funneled into the financial gears of the economy compared to what Wall Street and the financial centers and large corporations get, he would be very surprised. Now, keeping in mind, a billion is 100 million, and a trillion is 1,000. A billion is 1,000 million, and a trillion is 1,000 billion. And although the second round of assistance programs were jammed up in the Ivy Halls of Washington up until just a couple of weeks ago, the money spigots remained open in order to keep the financial markets from seizing up, much like they did in 08 and 09. Sounds kind of familiar, right? For example, in the first COVID payments, individuals received about $560 billion, with small businesses garnering around $377 billion. Large corporations, on the other hand, financial entities, cities, and states received about $840 billion. Now, that's only about $100 billion in difference, which is still a lot of money, but doesn't really open your eyes. But you have to realize that's not the complete amount of programs that's pouring out of the Federal Reserve to aid the financial systems and its players. The repurchase agreement market, also known as repo, has swallowed up anywhere from $300 to $900 billion a month since March. And the Brookings Institute pops this amount very far forward to let you realize what kind of money is going into this, is that the Federal Reserve is offering $1 trillion in daily overnight repo agreements, $500 billion in another one-month program, and $500 billion in a three-month repo program. The Fed has also extended the facility to run until about March 31st, 2021. So what I'm trying to say here is that although small businesses and individuals got about, $750 billion, $800 billion, the repurchase agreement market alone, we're guaranteeing up to $1 trillion in daily overnight repo agreements, another $500 billion in another month program, and $500 billion in three-month repo programs. So the amount going to the financial system to keep the system alive is tremendously, tremendously much larger than what came to us. Now, I had to reread those figures again to make sure I wasn't suffering from a macular degeneration moment or a senior moment, but it was indeed $1 trillion in daily overnight repo funds. Now, those funds aren't necessarily given to the financial systems. They're just backstops to help the system flow, ebb and flow, and so these big corporations can operate, the banking systems can operate. But still, keep in mind, this is only some of what we do know. There are many more programs living beneath the muck, all initiated by the Federal Reserve in some form or another, and none of them were held up by political gridlock. Now, we would want to know why politicians are not giving any problems to this vast amount of money going into the financial system, yet they're hemming and humming and hoeing about giving us a mere $700-800 billion. One could argue that the difference in these programs is significant, and the reasons are there are significant. Financial assistance to keep the system afloat that go to the banking system, big corporations, are monetary. They're monetary programs. That means they're undertaken by the Federal Reserve. Stimulus programs, although they encompass money, they are not classified as monetary programs. They are fiscal programs. So there's two ways that the government can address problems in the economy, and we call it fiscal and monetary. Monetary is where the Federal Reserve just monkeys with the dollar. It gives it to corporations, or it gives it to the system, to the overnight lending facilities. That's monetary. Fiscal is when the government can address taxes and stimulus programs and such. So that's fiscal. Now, the monetary programs are undertaken by the Federal Reserve, and the fiscal programs are undertaken by the Treasury. So the Treasury needs congressional approval, where the Federal Reserve basically can do what it wants. You can imagine, though, since both programs took place, both programs have the permission of elected officials, or they would never be in existence, of course. Another argument for the difference in the monetary programs to the system and the fiscal programs to the consumer. Although both political aisles agree that both programs are important, you notice that they kept the monetary programs to the system and to the financial entities and large corporations ongoing. They never stopped. Where ours ended in June or July and was woefully smaller than the ones going to the financial system. The ones that were going to the financial system did not stop. And the reason was is because obviously both political parties thought that if that money did stop, that the financial system would collapse, much like 08 and 09, right? However, mom and pop, I guess, my own opinion here, do not threaten the system at large. Hence the lack of urgency to initiate new packages in a timely fashion for mom and pop, but they keep the money flowing to the financial centers ongoing and in massive amounts. Seems like deja vu, right? So no matter what the financial happenings are, we can just assume that there is a wall of money. It is unarguably a huge wall of money, better described, at least by me, as a tsunami of cash. With records being set every day as to the copious amounts that are being administered during this crisis, it is apparent that at least the financial system will survive COVID-19. We can only hope that although the system will come out the other end because of all the money that is given to them and is still given to them and will be given to them through March of 2021, that the average everyday American will fare as well. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back with Your Money Matters. This is a 29-minute condensed version because of COVID. I used to be on at noon for an hour live, but very few broadcasters are in the studios now. We're all doing a lot of these shows pre-recorded from home because we want to keep a minimal staff because of the COVID problem. So they've moved me right now from the hour live show because Governor Newsom takes that spot that I had, which is noon on Tuesdays. And we're doing 29 minutes on Thursday nights now. And, of course, Money Matters News can be heard on Tuesday nights. And those are just five or six-minute newscasts. Okay, we'll be right back to Money Matters on your community radio station. I'm Mark Gutenberg. Okay, and welcome back to Money Matters. My name is Mark Gutenberg. Okay, so you're listening to show 319, shortened version, a COVID shortened vision, 29 minutes. So I mentioned that I would tell you this show, when I mentioned it last show, that I would tell you about a unique opportunity that has arisen anytime we have destruction in an economic system, at least in a capitalistic economic system. It brings about opportunity. And it brings about opportunity by the definition called creative destruction. Despite the unprecedented economic damage brought about by the shutdowns, there are opportunities for the nimble entrepreneur. The capitalistic term creative destruction is perfectly illustrated in the current environment. The shutdowns have caused an untold number of businesses to close their doors, right? I estimated back in March that about 25% of small businesses would not return. The crux of this fallout is concentrated in restaurants, small retail mom-and-pop stores, hospitality, and other types of retailers like restaurants and bars, etc. Small businesses make up the majority of businesses in the U.S., which means as businesses go under due to the COVID shutdowns, a gap will be left, pretty large gap, I think, where there once was a glut. At any given time, new businesses continually open up in the ebb and flow of the normal business cycle, right? Any time that you're alive, there are always businesses that are opening, some are going under. But in this recent COVID shutdown, we have to admit that there's many businesses that are shutting down and not many that are reopening. So I want you to think about that for a minute. The reopening period coming, because we will reopen, could be an ideal time to set up a new endeavor in the areas that have been hit the hardest. Consider in the past when new businesses open up, their new customers are actually coming from someone else's old customers. What do I mean by that? Simply put, a new business must steal customers from existing businesses to survive. The reality is, new customers do not magically appear. God does not make new customers when you open up a business. There's the same amount of customers that are out there. So you basically aren't going to get new customers that are newly created, right? You're going to have to steal them from somebody else. This could be better illustrated by saying new businesses must get their customers by stealing other businesses' customers. Since humans are creatures of habit, we shop where we shop and continue to go there. Our shopping habits means we are reluctant to change in when we shop, where we shop, unless it's for a good reason. This fact, this reluctance of people to change, is one of the reasons that 9 out of 10 new businesses fail to reach their second year of operation. 9 out of 10. Although it is unfortunate that the COVID shutdowns have caused many businesses to close, this is the destructive part of the term creative destruction that the capitalistic vocabulary refers to. Creative destruction. The creative part is the opportunity that the closing down of some of these businesses brings about to the new business owners that have the resources to start up in the environment. This new environment will have many holes brought about by the COVID closures. New businesses, for the most part, may not have to steal customers from existing businesses because those existing businesses no longer exist, or at least not as many. With so many of the would-be competitors now out of business, new business endeavors will just fill the gaps left by the dissolutions of the stores shuttered from the shutdowns. The opportunity brought about by the destruction of so many businesses could be argued that it is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to the nimble entrepreneur. Opening a new business now in a sector that has been decimated, in other words, I don't think I'd open up a contracting business because they're busier than heck. Well, maybe they're busy. You could actually fill the hole there too as well. But more so, there's going to be more opportunity in the areas that were hit the hardest once we open up because a lot of those businesses would be gone. This could be the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity potential startup owners could be looking for. Another consideration is that storefront real estate, right, leases should be plentiful because many businesses went under. This means landlords will be open to negotiation, hard-line negotiations for lease and rental rates due to the glut of available storefronts brought about by the COVID shutdowns. Potential businesses should have the pick of the litter when it comes to prime retail space and the ability to negotiate a very competitive lease. Landlords will be eager, in my opinion, to fill storefronts vacated when bankrupt businesses leave. The same opportunities will exist for businesses that are strong enough to survive. If you made it through the shutdowns, a lot of your competitors will be gone. That means that you will be able to, possibly be able to, renegotiate your leases down. You may be able to get a better place for the same price or even cheaper, and maybe a storefront. So existing businesses, if you made it through, you're going to have many more customers and probably be able to negotiate a better lease and keep your costs down. In conclusion, it is said that only the strong survive. And in a capitalistic system, it can mean tremendous opportunity for some in the face of a stark reality for others. If you've been thinking of opening a business, this might be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have the best chance of surviving. We'll be right back to close up the show. My name's Mark Kunenberg. Okay, welcome back to your economic forum entitled Money Matters, the shortened COVID edition. 29 minutes, playing on Thursday nights usually. Or, of course, because it's carried over 66 stations nationwide, I never know when you're going to be hearing it. So, in any case. And because it's pre-recorded right now, we're not taking any call-ins, of course. So, just want to say that we're ending show today, 319. Enter 2021. Happy New Year, everybody. Remember that opinions expressed in this show are my opinions only and may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. The show is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions and do your own research before investing. I'm a financial analyst, hold California Insurance License OL34249, and am a Medicare approved agent for California. My name is Mark Kunenberg, and our website, moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. Have a great day. Welcome to 2021, and hopefully it'll be a much better year.